Good evening, everyone. Hope you enjoy your Lag BaOmer. I actually just arrived from Chicago, and I came directly from the airport to here. And Lag BaOmer, it's a special event. Mekubal that it's the Yortzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that he wrote the Zohar. His student, Rabbi Abba, wrote it in his name. And after the Omer, which just finished today, the morning of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, is perhaps one of the biggest tragedies in Jewish history, that all the biggest rabbis in the world died and only five survived. Only five from 24,000, five survived. Who were they? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and Rabbi Meir. Five Chachamim. And from them, all the Torah started again, that they started to spread the Torah. So if they die, those five, we wouldn't be here today. And everything you see in the world, all Judaism, all these things wouldn't exist. They actually revived everything. They knew all the Torah. They were big Chachamim. As you can see, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is a legend. It's not just another Chacham. And thanks to that, the Judaism did not disappear. Then today, Baruch Hashem, it's all over the world and so many yeshivot and everything, thanks to this event. So the question is, why 24,000 died? I'm sure you heard that before. They did not respect each other. When we say did not respect each other, we have to ask, how can it be that such big rabbis, that I always like to say it, and it's not an exaggeration, that if you take any rabbi in the world, and all of them even combined, cannot get to the level of one of them. That's how huge they used to be. 2,000 years ago, and the level of the Torah and the knowledge that they had, and there's no nonsense in their life, nothing whatsoever. So the question is, how someone that knows the entire Torah, he gets to a situation that he disrespects other students in his yeshiva? How can it be? Even today, you go to yeshiva of Baalei Tshuva, most of the time, they get along together. They give respect, they help each other. One teach the other. All of a sudden, these big rabbis, they don't respect each other. So the answer is, of course they respect each other. If we were there, we would be amazed how they respect each other. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek im tzadikim kechut ha-seara. When Hashem judged someone who is perfect tzadik, perfect righteous person, He judged him 100% by judgment, no mercy. One little mistake is already a severe judgment. In billions of things he did good. One mistake in his entire 40, 50 years, it's already a very strict judgment. Medakdek, it's Gemara Meforeshet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu medakdek im atzadikim kechut ha-seara. Chut ha-seara means a very thin air. That's how precise is the judgment of Hashem with the righteous people. So since they did not respect enough according to their level, they all died in the most horrible sickness called Haskara. Haskara. The Gemara said there's 903 kinds of death Hashem created in the world. 903. Maybe it's not include cancer and heart attacks and the things that we have today. But this was 2,000 years ago. According to 2,000 years ago, 903 different kinds of death. And the worst one is this sickness, Haskara, the ones they died in. What is it? It's a growth that starts inside the throat and slowly, slowly is growing and growing and growing until a person cannot breathe and choke him from inside. This is this disease called Haskara. You know, there's another example. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai had a son. His name was Rabbi Elazar. He's buried with him in Meron. There's about 500,000 people went there yesterday in Israel, and they got stuck in traffic 6 hours. The car couldn't drive one step. The police collapsed. The ambulance is all froze. People were, it's the heat over there, it's horrible. It's not like now, nice, cool breeze, you know? So, it was, I don't know how it ended, if anybody died, chas v'shalom, but every year there's casualties there. It's a very big happening. People already go a few days before, they make tents, they want to be close to where they light the fire. This is the yahrzeit of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, but people seem to forget that right next to him it's his son that was just as big. Son, Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara brings a story that after he learns with his father in a cave, so long, they learned Torah so long, he felt like he's almost like God. That's how great he felt. 12 years learning Torah in poverty, without materialism, without nonsense, without seeing anything that is not connected to Torah, isolated in a cave with water and carobs, with an angel who teach you all the secrets of Hashem and the Torah and the Kabbalah. So you have to feel out of this world. And he walks towards the town on a donkey, and he saw an ugly man. Now what rabbi today care if a man is ugly, not ugly? Would you ever saw someone who comes to a person, oh, you're so ugly? Who cares about this? Ugly, not ugly. What is the... So the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he comes to this person. He says, "Whoa, what an ugly person you are." This is after learning with an angel all the secrets of the Torah. So that person was a sensitive guy. And he said to him, "Oh yeah? Why don't you write a complaint to the artist who designed me? Maybe he has something, you know, he has something to tell him." So right away, he realized he made a very big mistake. Today we call it arrogance. That's really the right word. Hard to believe that such a legend had such a word came out of his mouth. Sometimes the biggest lowlife will not dare to say to an ugly person, what an ugly person you are. Hard to believe. You have to understand this, the stories of the Gemara are much, 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 much deeper than what we think. We only understand the pshat, the simple way of understanding. There's tons of secrets in them. Some of them, there are books who explain the depth of the story. Some of them, unfortunately, we don't know the depth. It could be that there is a whole entire story than what we understand. But let's just try to analyze it anyway. So he said to him, go complain to the artist. So he said, please forgive me, I'm very sorry. So he didn't want to hear from him. He got so offended. So as he's walking towards town, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, the holiest rabbi in the world after his father, is running after this person who supposedly was a nothing, nobody famous, nobody, no rabbi, no chacham, no nothing. He's begging him to forgive him the entire way. Forgive me, please, that, I made a mistake. Doesn't want to forgive him. Then the people of the town saw that the big tzaddik is coming to town, so everyone came to welcome him. So the ugly man, he looks around, he says, they're giving respect to this Rasha? That's in his mind. This wicked person, they're all respecting him? So he says, who are you saying, Shalom Aleichem Rabbi? Who is the rabbi here? So they say, he's a very important rabbi. So, oh, if this is a rabbi, may the nation of Israel never have rabbis like this. I say, God forbid, how do you talk? What? So he told them what happened. So they say to him, yeah, you're right, but forgive him anyway, because it's a huge holy person. So the Gemara say, from here we learn, from this story, believe it or not, from this story we have a very important halakha, law. What's the law? That we write the mezuzah with a soft, it says, kaneh, it's something soft. Today we write with feather, which is even softer. But not with erez. Erez is a very thick and not flexible wood. So it's the Gemara say, write with something soft. Why? Because to teach people that the holiest thing in the world is the Torah or mezuzah or tefillin, holiest thing, you have to write it with something soft to teach the people to be soft, down to earth, and easy to forgive. Even if somebody hurt them, hurt their feelings, learn to forgive easily. That's a very big thing. Le'olam yeh adam rach kakaneh ve'lo kashe ka'erez. Why? Erez is it's a tree that is very, very tough to bend. So that's the story. Speaking about arrogance, this is what the Gemara say. Interesting, interesting. Who's saying it? The father of this Rabbi Elazar, maybe his son, wasn't there when he taught that message that day. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Yochanan say in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasut Aruach. Every person that have arrogance is equal to an idol worshiper. Chutzpah. Chutzpah. Person is rude. Rude to people. Doesn't have patience. Disrespect. Don't say thank you. Don't say please. Don't behave nice. Comes to a place with his cell phone, very loud. Eat, throwing things on the floor. Does not pick after himself. Comes to make coffee, napkins, these papers of sugar all over. That's called arrogance. It's an arrogant person. Is equal to Mr. Li in Shanghai who kissed the feet of Buddha every day. In the eyes of who? Not in my eyes. In my eyes, I give him one smack. I say, come on, learn to be a human being. That will be the end of it. In the eyes of Hashem, he's count like Indian who bow down to the cow. Keilu oved avodah zara. Rabbi Yochanan atzmo. Rabbi Yochanan, now, until now, he was quoting Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Now he has something to say also. He say, and it's count like he's kofer be'Hashem. He denies the existence of Hashem. Person made the floor dirty, person scream, person speak on the phone, person killed someone, person blocked traffic. He's an arrogant person. But what is it? Kofer be'Hashem? He goes Yom Kippur, he cries all day. Ma. He comes to a synagogue every day, puts tefillin. What do you mean kofer be'Hashem? Why is kofer be'Hashem? Why is denying Hashem? Why it's count like he denies Hashem? Chas v'shalom. Why? How can it be?
You're in Hashem's presence. You're always in Hashem's presence. So therefore...
So every sin is denying Hashem. Every sin. Hashem is present and Hashem is watching. Why this one? It's like denying Hashem. This is a huge accusation here. Denying the existence of Hashem? How many Jews in the world do you really believe denies Hashem? I make a deal with you. Take 100 secular Jews, ask them, you believe in Hashem? Ta ma'amin be'Hashem? All the ones who say no, I'll make a deal with you. Let's connect them to lie detector. 90% of them, the lie detector will break from their lies. Not only they believe in Hashem, they are the biggest believers in Hashem. That's why when you invite them to a Torah lecture, they get very angry. Why? If you don't believe in Hashem, there's nothing. Why you get upset? The speaker is crazy. Feel bad for him. They get angry. Why they get angry? Because they know it's true. Inside they know. When they have problems in the army, in a war, in a hospital, do you see how religious they become in a hospital? You don't believe me? Let's go to York Avenue over there in the 60s. Go to the hospital. We put my hat. You put your hat. And we walk together over there. And you see how every person that sees us, Rabbi, Rabbi, come pray for me. Come, give me a blessing. Jews, non-Jews, secular, religious, male, female, young, old, everyone. Everyone. So 60 years, you say, I don't believe, there's nothing. In the end, you beg for mercy and you say, pray for me. Pray to who? To the trees? To who should I pray? To the moon? Praise to Hashem. So it's obvious, whatever people say, whatever they feel or think is not always the same. This is the Gemara say, Hashem hates people like this. They have one in their mouth and one in their heart, and it's not the same. In their mouth they say one thing, and in their heart they think the opposite. Baruch Hashem, Hashem made the world that people who knows Torah and body language, they don't go by what he say. They go by what his body say. I already by now, whatever people tell me, it's not so relevant. Because I heard every nonsense in my life. I just check the body of a person, how he behaves. And that's how I know if he really means what he say, or he's just trying to get attention. Understand? I just was in a Shabbaton. So the rabbi who invited me there, he said, I want you to speak to someone. I went there. It took me 30 seconds to realize it's a waste of time. Because that person not only did not believe what he claimed, just wanted attention. You see right away, if a person wants attention. I'm not a psychologist. I have more urgent things to do. If there was a legitimate question, believe me, I stayed there 3 days until the problem resolved. When someone makes noise and bark because he wants attention, you know, after so many years, you don't have patience for it. You have to move on. You have to learn. So it's body language. The body tells everything, everything. It's very hide. Very difficult to hide body language because it comes from the subconscious. A person is not aware of it. You can see if a person likes you or not. If you come and sit next to a person, a goy, in the airport, you know right away, I know right away if he's anti-Semite or not. Right away I know. Doesn't make a beep. He's on his computer, whatever. His body already tell me if he's allergic to me or not. Right away. And it's good because it helps you. You know what to do, to ask, not to ask. Or you come to the teller, you see how they react. As soon as you see you walking to them, you already know what to say. You're about to say A, and you see already what they think about you, and you say something else. Why? What's making things worse? What's the point of putting more oil in the fire? They're already suffering by looking at you. You know, halacha, esav soner Yaakov. Now you're going to come and say, I want an upgrade? Forget about it. You ask a stupid question, you pretend that was your question, and you move on. Body language is critical. Everyone should read and learn about it. It's very important. So Rabbi Yochanan says, it's like denying the existence of Hashem. Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina says, like he slept with any woman that is forbidden to him from the Torah. His mother, his sister, his horrible stepmother, his daughter, the worst Giluy Arayot. That's what he's equal to. Amarav. Since they're already speaking about Gilui Arayot, a person that went and had a relation with a married woman, listen good, even if he's equal to Avraham Avinu in his level, he cannot avoid hell. No way to get clean from such a sin. Lo inakem idina shel Gihinom. That's it. The verdict is decided already. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, even if he gives tons of money for charity anonymously, it's much higher level anonymously. You know what a Baal Emunah, it's a person who comes, knock on your door and comes to your wife. She doesn't know who he is. You don't know who left and leaves an envelope full of cash without name, without anything. Say donation. Usually when the people give donation, 15 times they call, they prepare the event, they invite the people from the media to take pictures when they, you know, they make sure the building is on their name, the parochot is on their name, a sign over here, sign in the bathroom. But you never forget that is the donation of this family. Never. You understand? But somebody who comes and gives anonymously, that shows a strong emunah in Hashem. What does it say over here? Cannot avoid Gehinnom. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol adam sheyesh bo gasut haruach, every arrogant person, ra'ui legado'o ka'ashera, deserve to be cut, like Hashem said, to cut the trees which were idols for the goyim in Eretz Israel. When we occupy the land, Yoshua ben Nun, Hashem say, not only cut the trees, dig it with the roots completely, that there will not be any drop left from their idols. They used to worship their trees and all kinds of things. So the Gemara says, someone that is arrogant, he really deserves to be cut from his root, which means no memory of him would be left in this world ever. No children, no name, his name will disappear from the face of his earth. If he had a book or something that he wrote, Hashem has to bury it, that nobody would remember him. Why? What did he do? Arrogant. Chilul Hashem, everywhere he goes. Look at this, look at that. Then Hashem says, Amar Marukva, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasut HaRuach, every arrogant person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, me and him cannot live in the same world. It's either him or me. Why? I can't stand him. Hashem. Hashem can't stand him. Sheneemar, where does it say it? Te'ilim Kuf Alef. Gva Einayim Urechav Levav Oto Lo Uchal. Someone that his eyes, we say today in our modern Hebrew, Af Shelo Bashamayim, his nose is in the sky, which means he's full of pride. But in the language of the Torah, it's called Gva Einayim. He looks at everyone from up to down, which means I'm the greatest. And his heart is full of joy that everyone bows down to him. You know, when he comes in, when he walks in places, you know, he feels great. The Gemara continue, Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Bo ure kama gdolim nemuche haruach lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Come and learn how great are humbled people in front of Hashem. How great they are. In the time Bet HaMikdash used to exist, a person brings a sacrifice, Korban Ola. He gets a reward for Korban Ola, for sacrifice of Ola. He brings a mincha, Sechar mincha beyado. He gets the reward for mincha. But someone who is very humble, is down to earth, Hashem compare him like he sacrificed all the sacrifices in one shot. Not one at a time, little here, little there, everything. Just being humbled. Where does it say it? Zivchei Elohim ruach nishbara. We say it in a Brit Milah. Lev nishbar venitke, Elohim lo tifze. Person that his heart is broken and down to earth. He doesn't even think about being proud anywhere. Down to earth, never attracts attention, always in a corner, not making noise, hiding. Not, who am I to make noise here? Let me sit in a corner and be quiet. Person like this. If he doesn't have any wisdom, no power, no wealth, no beauty, no family, inheritance, none of these things, then you ask yourself, okay, what do you expect? He doesn't have what to show. Better be quiet. He doesn't have what to show, and he's making a lot of noise. Dalge'e. The Gemara has a name for it. It says, poor, not in money, poor in everything. It's nothing to offer, and he's proud? That's already a tragedy. It's a very big crime. But someone who has what to show, that's the test. The main test. Very wise. And nobody knows the answer, and he knows. Well, it doesn't make a beep. And he has a lot of money, and he always drives the most simple car. Never attract attention. What does he do with his money? Lots of positive things, doesn't he? He's not here to show off who has the nicest house on Ocean Parkway. That's not what he came to the world for. So he's going to live in an average house, comfortable but average. And with his money, he will sponsor Torah. Will make a lot of interesting things anonymously. That's because he's humbled. He doesn't want to show off. No, don't write my name. You know, when I made the film, Life After Death, there was one woman who sponsored most of it. So she asked me to put on the end of the film for the memory for Leilui Nishmat her father, who passed away. So me, as a courtesy, as being a gratitude, I also wrote a special thank you to her. So when I sent her the first copies who came out, she insisted, and we're going to send it back to the filmmaker and remove that out. So I don't want anyone to know. I said, it's already there. You didn't ask for it. Don't worry, it doesn't take away your reward because you didn't ask for it. No. Take it out. Just make sure you make for the memory of my father. Nobody knows who her father is. Whatever his name, finished. Why? No, I'm not doing it for the show off. I know Hashem knows why I did it. I want to make Baalei Tshuva. That's it. So, a broken heart, down to earth. Zivchei Elohim. What's all the sacrifice of Hashem? Zvachim. It's all the sacrifice. Ezem mekomam shel zvachim, we say every morning. Ezem mekomam shel zvachim. Where is the place of all the slaughtering of all the sacrifices? All of them, it's plenty, there's a huge list. All of them, it can count what you sacrifice in Beit HaMikdash by being down to earth. Ruach Nishbara, down to earth. Then the Gemara continue. The Gemara say, when a person is after something that doesn't belong to him, car doesn't belong to you, a woman that belongs to someone else, anything that doesn't belong to you, you have what you have, what Hashem gave you, and somebody has what Hashem gave him, and your eyes is after his stuff. What happened? It usually reflects a very serious retaliation by Hashem. Very dangerous. Let's give you an example from the Tanakh. Sota, it's a woman that doesn't behave kosher, no modesty with men. Natna enea b'mi she'eno ra'uila. She went with a man that she's forbidden. Ma she'bikshah lo nitan la, or ma she'beyada natlu mimena. She cheated on her husband, the Gemara says. Now, her husband must divorce her, so she loses her family. She loses her reputation for life. And the person that she went with, whether she fell in love with him or not, it's forbidden on her forever. No rabbi is allowed to marry them. The rabbanut cannot authorize such marriage. So now she lost from both sides. In Hebrew, there's a say, kereach mishne atzdadim. I became bald from both sides. Why? One side is good. You can borrow for the other side. And both sides is bald. That's it. There's nothing you can do. So it says like this. Kol anoten enav b'ma she'eno shelo, every person that is greedy and is looking in something that doesn't belong to him, ma she'mevakesh en notnim lo, u'ma she'beyado notlim mimeno. Not only you don't get what you want, belongs to someone else, the ones you have, Hashem takes away from you. How much people can hurt themselves. We saw, this is a Gemara in Masechet Sota, page 9, the left side of the page. Matzinu benachash akadmoni, the first nachash, you know, the snakes that we see today, they all crawl on the floor. They don't have legs. But the first nachash was like a crocodile. He had many legs. It's called nachash akadmoni. There's the first ancient snake of the story of the Torah in Adam and Chava. And there's all the other snakes. The first Nachash was completely different than everything you see today. After he got cursed, that's the way they look today. The first one, he had ability to talk, to walk, he had wisdom. That's why they say in Hebrew, Eze Nachash ata. What a snake you are. Why snake? Snake is a person that knows how to trick people good. There's two animals that consider deceiving. One is the snake. What's the second one? Shual. Fox. Shual is also very sneaky. I had a neighbor in Muncie. I lived where I lived 11 years ago. He lived in a second floor and there's a deck. So you have to go two floors up, stairs, all the way up to get to his deck. It's on two big poles. One time he decided to bring chickens, you know, roosters, for his kids to come play with them in the deck. You know. One hour, the roosters were there in the deck. He closed it with the gate. The fox, I don't know how they made it to the deck. I don't know how they got in because it's very thin. The morning he got up, the deck was not brown anymore. It was all red with millions of feathers stuck to the blood. The fox came and destroyed all of them. Fox. So it says like this. The first snake, he wanted Chava. Do you know the real story of Adam and Eve and the snake? The secret of it? Not the literal explanation. Do you know the secret or no? The snakes, until today, believe it or not, they have desire for women. Snake desire women. Sexually, desire women. The first snake, he was jealous with Adam that he has a beautiful wife, Chava, who was the most beautiful woman ever lived, because she's a direct creation of Hashem. He wasn't born from a woman. Imagine when Hashem created a woman with his own hand, supposedly. What can be more perfect than that, right? So it's needless to say, we don't need to be a genius to understand how pretty she was. So the snake was going crazy that Adam has a wife and is desiring her. That's the whole point, to instigate between them that he can have her for himself. The Gemara say that if a snake is after a woman, is running after her, if she take off her jacket, the top jacket, and she throw it to the side, and she runs to the left, if she throw the jacket over there, he smells the floor. That's how he goes. Doesn't see. He smells. So he goes, he has very good sense of smelling. Smell the floor. So once the woman went to the left and she threw the jacket over here, he comes on the jacket and he goes around the jacket, and that's good enough for him. So the Gemara say if a snake is after running after a woman, crawling after a woman, they crawl very fast. You have to run very fast. You have to run to water. Why? Once you stepped into the water, he gets to the water, that's it. He cannot smell anymore. He doesn't know where you are. Now, in the old days, houses were not like today. Security, marble, everything is locked hermetically. What kind of houses they had? Full of holes from all over, pieces of wood. So the snakes used to be in a house. That's why water that you left them overnight, you have to cover them. If you didn't cover them, you don't drink. Why? They used to come to the water and put their poison. People used to die. They drink from it. They put their poison in the water. Barrels of water. Everything must be covered all the time. So they used to come. They're looking for the women at night. So the Gemara says, if a woman stays in a house, she has to put the legs of the bed inside buckets of water. Because when he smells the steps of the woman from today, when she walked in the house, he smells it. So then it leads him to the bed. But once he gets to the bed, it's water there. He can't smell anymore. Very interesting. So, the actual story, according to the Kabbalah, he already made the scene with Chava. He til zohamato b'chava. And this zohama, this poison of him, spiritual poison, it's, the Gemara say, it was dismissed from the Jewish people. All the people in the world had suffered from this Zohama. Zohama, Shna Nachash HaKadmoni. But when it came to Har Sinai, and Hashem gave us the Torah, the Gemara say, Paska Zohama Tam. Hashem cleaned us from this poison of Nachash HaRishon, Nachash HaKadmoni. So the Gemara says like this, the Nachash wanted her, she doesn't belong to him. Natan enav b'mi she'eno ra'ui lo. She's not for him. He's not worthy of her. Ma she'bikesh lo nitan lo. What he wanted, Hashem did not give him, obviously. U'ma she'be'ado netalo mimeno. And Hashem took away from him. Why? Hashem told him in the beginning, you'll be the king of all the animals. Because you're the smartest. You have ability to walk, to talk. You're intelligent. You're almost like a human being. So Hashem took it away from him. This skill that he had, Hashem took it away from him. He took away his legs, and he took away the relationship that he had with Hashem is gone. Hashem say, everything you eat will be like a sand. You don't need me. You have enough, plenty of sand. Eat whatever you want, but don't come to me for food. I have no more relationship with you. You are supposed to be melech al kol behema v'chaya for all the animals. Achshav, and now, arur ata mikol habehema. Now you're the most cursed animal. The most cursed animal. And after that, the dog. The snake, and then the dog. So it says like this. Ani amarti elech bekuma skufa. I made you different than all the animals. The all of them walk on four or crawl on the floor. And I made you walk like a person. Even the monkey, even chimpanzee, that is 99% like a person in DNA, is not like a person. He's bent down. He cannot stand straight. Chimpanzee cannot stay like this. His head is always going towards down. He's always bent down. Why? Why a person is the only creature that his head is up towards the heaven? Because we have a soul that pushes us up. Soul, a divine soul. And the soul, a person shows by the way he stands that he's really connected to the heaven, not to the ground. But all the animals, their faces to the ground. Why? Because they all connected to the ground. And they're all ground. That's it. There's no divine soul. Also, you should know when a person die, he wait a little bit more, maybe a pound or two or three more. Why? Because until now, the soul was pushing up. It's like a balloon. It has air in a balloon, so the balloon is flying, it's becoming lighter. Once the air comes out, it becomes heavier on a scale. Same thing a person. What's the Gemara with Rabbi Yochanan? He wanted to go to surrender to the Romans. After 3 years, they gathered Israel. Nobody can come in and out. And then there's no food left. So he went to surrender. So his nephew was a gangster. Abba Sikra, his name was. So he told him, give me an advice. How do I go out? Because your gangster don't let us go and surrender. So he told him, pretend you're dead, but make sure that you have your students carrying your bed, because they know you're alive. Somebody else will pick you up, will say you're too light, cannot be you're dead. When you're dead, you're heavier. But make sure your students that know the plan, the trick, they are the only one who carry your bed. So from here we see that a dead person weighs few pounds more. So it says like this. So Hashem told him, you were supposed to be the king of the animals, now you're the most cursed animal from all the animals. You were supposed to walk like a person straight, and now your face is in the floor and the ground, the worst. Now, al gechoncha telech, you crawl on your stomach. I said in the beginning, the original creation, you're supposed to eat like people, exactly what we eat, he was supposed to eat with his hands. Mamash like a person. And what now? Now you're eating sand. Now you may say, but I know snakes in the safari, they throw rat to them. Rats. They eat rats. They don't bring them sand to the aquarium where they in. They bring rats. But the rats taste like sand. How do you know? Make a test. If you ever know someone who has a snake, take a rat, dead rat, and wrap it with a diaper. An old diaper, not the diapers, the disposable. The ones like from 20 years ago. Just take a towel or anything, wrap it around it. And then take a rat without it. And you throw it, and you see it eats the other one. I made an experiment. You're supposed to eat the rat without it. He eats it, it's no problem. He doesn't feel the taste. The Gemara has an argument, what did Hashem mean? That he tastes everything like sand? Or he does taste the flavor, but as dessert he must always eat a little sand. What exactly is the curse here, that all his food will be like sand? So, Hashem said, he wanted to kill Adam and Mary Chava. That was his plan, the snake. Now, what was the plan? Hashem, everything is measure for measure. Now, it will be a hatred between you and humankind for eternity. Where does it say it? Eva, Ashit, Bencha, Uvena, Isha. Now, it's going to be, everyone who is born from a woman, now between you and them, there's no good relationship. That's why it's one of the only animals, or maybe the only one, who attacked with no benefits. You attack with no benefits. Usually an animal, if you attack them, they're paranoid, so they attack back. Or if they want to eat you, they're hungry, so they want to eat you. So they attack you. But what is the snake doing? He beat a person and goes away. It makes him die. What's the point? What is he gain by that? Nothing. Just pure hate. So it says like this. Cain wanted what's not his. We know his end. Korach wanted to replace Moshe. After he heard Hashem nominate Moshe, he lost everything. Bilam lost everything. Doeg Edomi. This is people who know all the Torah by heart. Doeg Edomi. Achitofel. He taught Torah to David HaMelech. He lost everything. Gehazi. Elisha. He was serving Elisha Hanavi. Lost everything. Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech, wanted to take his father's place and his women. What was his end? They made his body like a net, with swords, with spears. Adoniah, he wanted to be the king when David HaMelech was 7 years old, about to die any minute. He already made himself a carriage. What was the end? They threw him like a dog in the end. And Solomon, King Shlomo, became a king, 12 years old. Uzziahu, Haman, they looked at something that was not theirs, they wanted forcefully, Hashem buried them. And it's the same thing by us. You want something, you after something is not yours, you after someone's job. Someone has a job, he's doing his job. You convince his boss to fire him to give you the job. You may be successful for now. The price you're going to pay will be so tremendous eventually. Not only did not help you this job, it will bury you. Hashem sees everything. That's why a person has to be clever. And it's all, as usual, it's a matter of emunah. Shimshon, from Shevet Dan, is a Navi, is holy from birth. An angel came to his mother, Tzlalfonit, and to his father, Manoach. He actually spoke to the mother and told her, next year you're going to have a holy baby. Shimshon Nazir, he had hair, his power was in his hair. It's not just a... So what happened? He wanted the Delilah, the Plishtim. He went after her, the Plishtim took his eyes out. You were not supposed to look at her. Yeah, she was pretty, whatever. They took out his eyes. His eyes. Vayochazu Plishtim vayenakru et enav. Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech, he had hair, show off, look at me, I'm handsome. They hung him from his hair. That was his death. He had relation with the 10 Pilakshim of David HaMelech. David had wives and Pilakshim. The old days used to be common for important people to have a Pilegesh. It's his extra wife, just without a ketubah. Same thing like a wife. They can have children, they keep nida, everything like a wife. Just he doesn't have to write to her a ketubah. That's it. So he had 10 pilakshim. He went after his father's pilakshim on purpose to humiliate his father. What was his end? For every pilegesh he slept with, one spear went into his heart. 10 holes in his chest. One for one. He only knew when he make the scene that the price of it will be a spear in the heart. Probably wouldn't do it. You have to know better. Then, who killed him? The soldiers of Yoav. He was the minister of defense. Vayaku et Avshalom. 10 of them. Each one of them one spear. The Gemara says, Shimshon be'enav marad. Shimshon rebelled against Hashem with his eyes. The eyes, he looked at this beautiful Goya and destroyed him. What was his end? He paid the price with his eyes. They could have made him other tortures. From all the tortures in the world, they decided to take a knife and hit it. The knife looked like fire and they put it on his eyes. Think about it. Why? Nah, why didn't do something else? Why didn't cut his hands? Why didn't do other things? There's many tortures. Why? The eyes that looked at somewhere you're not supposed to, they pay the price. Then, it says like this. When was the beginning of the kilkul of Shimshon, that Shimshon started to go off the way? In Gaza, what we call today Gaza. I don't know why Gaza became Gaza. But in America, everything is possible. So, Tchilat Kilkulo be'Aza, he started to go against Hashem in Aza by looking at his Goya. Vayelech Shimshon Azata, Vayar Sham Isha Zona, prostitute, on top of everything. Sheneemar, Vayochozu Plishtim, Vayenakru et Enav, where was it? In Gaza. Then, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, today it's the day of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Noach lo le'adam shiapil atzmo lekifshan ha'esh ve'al yanbi pnei chavero barabim. If you have two choices, to insult your friend in public or to throw yourself into the fire, throw yourself into the fire and do not embarrass him in public. Die and don't embarrass him. Today, people are enjoying it. Enjoying it. You know, I saw one time, there's a book, Reshit Chochmah, it describes what's happening in hell in details. every place, the angels, the fire. Thank you. So one thing I saw there, he said that there was one tzaddik that never made any sin in his life, except one. Soon I'm going to tell you the sin he made. You're going to laugh at me. I allow you. But one time he made a sin, and because of that sin, his punishment was that he will be in the gate of heaven and will see what's happening in heaven between Hashem and the righteous people, but he won't be able to go to his place for 40 days. So it says that he was standing there screaming, begging, let me in. 40 days you have to suffer. He didn't send him to Auschwitz, to the hell. No, he's in the gate of heaven. They're showing you a place. You want to go? Say, no. Wait, you have to wait 40 days until you get your place. Why 40 days he had to suffer? Because one time in the yeshiva, his friend, the rabbi, the Rosh Yeshiva, told his friend to give a speech about a subject from the Torah. And when the friend gave a beautiful speech, but when he came to one verse, he forgot the verse. He wasn't sure. So he got stuck for a few seconds. Thinking, getting embarrassed a little bit. So somebody was about to help him, to give him the verse. This person told him, shh, don't tell him. Let's see if he knows on his own. That's it. That was his only sin in his whole life. You just imagine what a tzaddik he was. He just said to the person, shh, don't tell him. And because of that, he got embarrassed another 20 seconds until he realized what the verse was. And because he got embarrassed, I don't know if he even planned to embarrass him like this. 40 days he had to suffer seeing what people get, and he cannot go get it. Why? Because of something like that. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim HaLeM Shehakol Nehiyeh Bidvaro. Better to fall to the fire than to embarrass. We learn it from Tamar and Yehuda. They're taking Tamar for execution, and she doesn't say, what are you sentencing me to death? You're the one who made the sin with me. Shame on you. Every other woman would say, you dare to talk? Who I was there with? You. Imagine the judge. They bring a prostitute to the police, handcuffs to the court, and they say, well, the law in Iran, prostitute, get killed. And the judge who sent her to execution now was the one who was with her last night. What would be? She screamed. He was the one. I have proofs. Here, I have his ID. He gave me his ID because he didn't have money to pay me. That was the story there. He gave her his ring. That ring is his ID. It's signature. Well, you cannot deny he was with her. She has his signature. Tabat. People used to sign with the ring. And his cane. No, it's two witnesses. That's it. So she said to him, sir, do you recognize this? Could have said, no. What's this? Just take her quick. Don't waste my time. They'll kill her. She buried a secret. And nobody would know. That's why we call Jews Yehudim. Because of this story. Somebody asked you why we call Yehudim. Because the meaning of the word Yehudi comes from the word Modeh. Yehuda, Modeh. Mazeh Modeh, Modeh in Hebrew, it's very interesting. It's one word that has two different meanings. And the two different meanings, that's what Judaism is all about. What's the two meanings? Modeh ala emet. Modeh means admit. Always admit that that's the truth and that's not. Admit. Whether you like it, whether you don't like it, it's against you, it's for you, you know, it's your enemy that say the truth. Doesn't matter. The truth is above everything. No calculation, what's in it for me. No. First, the truth. That's a very high level. Person always, לעולם יאדם ירא שמיים בסתר כבגלוי, ומודה על האמת, ודובר אמת בלבבו. Person should always be fearful from Hashem. In hidden rooms, just like he's on the street, also with his alone, not only in front of people. Always admit on the truth, and even thinking only the truth in his heart. This is a very high level. He doesn't know what lie is. It doesn't exist by him. So Yehuda, modeh means admit. I admit that's the truth. And at the same time, modeh means thank you. Somebody asks you, what's Judaism? Always to thank, to be grateful. No permission to be ungrateful. Always thank you, thank you. I owe him, I owe her, I owe. Nobody owes me, I owe. Person has to think, I came to this world to do for others. His life will be great if he adjusts his mind that in this world you didn't come to take, you came to give for your own good. People think, the more I take, the more I'm going to benefit. Wrong. The more you take, the more you lose. Because you take for 20 years and you lose for 2 billion years. These 2 years or 20 years will cost you big time. What do you think? Right? Why does it say, Soneh matanot ichye? Every time the Torah and the Gemara speaking about ichye, chai, chai bahem, ichye, chayita bam, all the word chayim, it's always life of eternity. I have a whole lecture about it, preparation for eternal life. I prove over there with many, many sources that whenever Hashem says in the Torah, if you do what I told you, you're going to live. If you keep my mitzvot, you will live. If you go and do and this and follow my ways, you and your children after you would live for eternity. Whenever the Torah speaks about life, it's not life over here that you're born and 20 years later you died. That's not life. It's a blink of the eye. It's not life. Because when a person is born, he begins to die. As soon as you're born, you are dying. Remember this. From the minute you came out to the world, your death process started. Just like a battery. You unplug it from the outlet, that's birth. The baby came out. Now the battery begins to die, 99, 97, 95. Nobody lives here. Everyone are dying here. Over here there's no life. Remember this, no life. Only death over here. We are dying in the process. The only problem is that in your laptop, it shows you how much you have left. And in our machine, Hashem didn't show us an indicator. We don't know. I once had a laptop like this. It doesn't ever show you if it's going to shut off any minute. Yeah. Can be in the middle of something, it dies on you. That's us. We don't know. Why Hashem didn't give us an indicator? Imagine if every person would have on his hand an indicator, 38%. Okay, good. Still have time. 18%. Still have time. 8% goes like this, toot, 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 still have time. That's what happened. But the person would know, what's the rush? I have 1 year before the indicator shows zero. When it goes to 3%, I'll be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. All the money I give, tzedakah, I learn Torah, mikveh all day, lock myself in a room, not looking at anything, mamash holy. Go like Eliyahu Navi to heaven express. Baal Tshuva. No, so why do you live 50 years before that? For what? Anyway, you're not planning to follow Hashem. So you might as well, I always say, all these long basketball games. What's the point of watching the whole thing? What's the point? It's the same, the same, the same. The last minute or two, that's really the game. If you're smart, if you're into this nonsense, better not to waste a minute on it. If you finally want to waste a minute on it, just skip right away to the last quarter, the last 5 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes, that's it. That's the game. Wow, what's the point? It's always like this. So it says like this. After she took it out, Yehuda said, Tzadkami meni. She's right. She's righteous. Leave her alone. We cannot kill her. By the way, from this story, the Mashiach came. From this story. Then, if you know the whole story, then she was already pregnant and she had kids. And then if you follow the genealogy, that's how King David came to the world. So imagine if Yehuda would be an arrogant person and would try to cover for his crime like all the politicians today, what they would do? Send her to death right away. Hire a hitman. Make sure you kill her. Why? Before she opened her mouth. That's what they do today. What do you think? You know how many assassinations there are between politicians? Plane crash, sabotage the plane, all kinds of things all the time. They even say that the Israeli CIA, whatever, killed Rabin. There's a book about it. One person, the author of the book, sent me the book. He brings proofs over there that Yigal Amir shot him, but he did not die. They killed him inside the car. There was some kind of a conspiracy. Who in the government had an interest that he will die? I know, but I can't say it in front of the camera, because I'll be the next one to die. I still want to live, you know? That's what happened. Yeah. You know, I was now in Chicago. I had an amazing Shabbaton, Baruch Hashem. Beautiful community in Chicago. And then I saw an amazing thing. A girl, 10, 11 years old. Her name was Shoshana. Shoshana Ahali. Shoshana Ahali, an American girl. Her and her mother and her three brothers, I think there were three brothers, what's mutual to them? The father not, but them, the mother and her children, they have something that we don't have, to the best of my knowledge. There's something mutual about this family. What's mutual about them? They all see ghosts, demons, and angels all the time. She brought me the girl, you know, a little 10 years old, little tiny, cute girl. She doesn't know how to lie. So cleverly. Impossible. I started to interview her, ask her a lot of questions. I said, what do you see? She said, I see the baby. I see the baby sitting right here. He always talked to me. He said, he loved us, he loved me, he loved the brother. So I asked the woman, did you ever have a miscarriage? You lost the baby? She said, yes. Said, yeah, that's the baby she's talking about. Because one of my lectures, Life After Death, many years ago, there was a case of a girl that died in a hospital, clinical death, and then she came back to life. And then when she came back to life, she asked her parents, Goyim, non-Jews, there's a boy that came to me up there, to my soul, when I was dead, and he told me that he's my brother. So I told him, how can it be? I don't have a brother. I'm my only girl. He said, no, I died before you were born. So the parents started to cry. We didn't want to upset you, so we never told you. When she died, she found out she has a brother. Came to her to speak to her. As the Zohar said, that all the relatives come to welcome you when a person is dead. You know what bothers me? It's so easy to prove the truth of the Torah and Judaism today with science. It all fall, comply together perfectly. Perfectly. Whatever they discover, it's all in the Torah. But there are still people who refuse to see. So I started to investigate her. She sees angels. So I told her, describe to me the angel. There are the angels in the fairy tales of the Goyim, and there are the angels by the Navi. She described the angel like the prophet Yechezkel. With wings and six wings and one leg, she said. One leg, not two legs. It's exactly like the Navi. That's why in Kedusha, we close our legs and we go Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Because that's what the prophet saw in Shamayim. So the choir of the angels singing to Hashem, and they have one leg. So we're trying to be like angels when we do Keter itenu lecha, or Nakdishach v'naritzach. We have to close the legs. It's halacha. Why? Like the angels. How do we know the angels have one? We cannot see them. The prophet told us what he saw in Shamayim. And this little girl. I asked her name. And I told the mother, I'm going to say the name. Why? If I'm going to say I met a girl, some people would say, how do I know it's true? Shoshana Ahali from Chicago, 10, almost 11 years old. I asked the mother how many years she see this. She see more than her brothers, but they also see. Since she's 4 years old. So she said that the house that they live have hundreds of ghosts. Hundreds. The house is 70 years old. So the mother also see. So I asked the mother, she said one time one of them spoke to her. So she said, if I'll change the mezuzot in the house Oh, there's anything I could do to get rid of all these ghosts here? So he say, it will take you 100 years to purify this home. 100 years from the impurity of this home. 100 years, even the mezuzot that they have will not help. That's how strong, whatever. Unbelievable. It's not the first time. I've met in the past people like this that see spirits of people. I even have one guest in my house that was falling asleep on a couch at 2 o'clock at night. One guest from Israel. He got up and he started to walk like this. He said, did you see him? Did you see him? I said, did I see what? You didn't see? There was one person here walking. I said, no, my friend. I said, no, I wasn't sleeping. I was up. My eyes were open. I saw him. Thank you for telling me that I have a ghost in my house. By the way, you should know, in halacha, there's lots of clever things that we sometimes don't pay attention. It said that it's a person, when he gets dressed, he has to get dressed in a modest place, under the blankets, whatever. Why? So a person think, what under the blanket? I'm alone in my bedroom. No one is here. The door is locked. I'm alone here. What is this now, sitting under the blanket, changing my pants? What's the connection? But a person doesn't know. It could be his grandfather there, the spirit, his grandmother. It could be the neighbor that died. And they see. That's the whole point. This is Kuneshamot. That it's called Ve'et Nefesh Arasha Iklaena Bekaf HaKela. The Zohar say, the spirits that flying all over in space. They don't have rest. Shem Yirachem. So just when you think you're alone, think again, maybe somebody is watching there. You just don't see him, but he sees you. You know, I tell you a story. In Manhattan, one time they decided to make a bathroom in the middle of the street. In the middle of the street. What was special about this bathroom? They put glass walls. From outside, it was mirror. From inside, it was clear. So the person who's supposed to sit now in the bathroom, he sees everything around him. So he sits over here, and he looks straight, and one woman walks towards him now. You know, for her, it's a mirror. So she comes like this. She fixes her lipstick like this. Sitting in the bathroom. So it goes like this. Not one person was able to make his bathroom there. None what person from the stress of people looking and around, you know. Even though they knew in their mind that nobody sees them, it's all glass mirror, nobody could have used the bathroom. So when a person knows there's all kinds of spirits in the house and they look at you, you better behave modest. Unbelievable. Darash Rava. Rava say, Avraham Avinu said, Anochi Afar Va'Efer. I'm sand. What Afar, what's Efer? Who knows? Afar Va'Efer. Avraham say, I'm Afar Va'Efer. What's Afar Va'Efer? Afar, what's Afar in Hebrew? Afar? Sand. Efer, ashes. What's worse? Sand or ashes? Why? They're both the same. You don't do anything with that. You don't do anything with that. Or maybe you do. One time I went to someone's living room. So I look around. So he said, oh, did you meet my father? I look around. I said, where is the picture of his father? I don't see any man here. I said, where? He said, right here on the shelf. I see a little jar like this, clear jar, with ashes inside. I look at that and say, yeah, yeah, that's the ashes of my father. Ignorance, it's so painful. So painful. So Avraham Avinu say, Anochi Afar Va'Efer, I'm sand and ashes. What reward Hashem gave him for considering himself so down to earth, nothing, ashes? He got a huge reward for it. What? His children, we, got two mitzvot thanks to these two words. Afar, afar shel sota, ve'efer shel para aduma. Ashes, after they burn the para aduma, they mix it with the water and they purify all the people who have dead body impurity. Then the Gemara says, "Bischar shamar Avraham Avinu, im michut v'atzroch na'al." He went to Ephron to buy Me'arat HaMachpelah. So Ephron said to him, you the president of God inside or among us. What is this? Take it for free. He said, no. He swore, I won't take even a shoelace from you. Shoelace? What is a shoelace worth? 10 cents? He'll give me a shoelace for free. Ephron was a billionaire. Avraham was wealthier than him. So he said to him, if you give me, imagine the richest Jew, what's his name, Adelson, they say he's worth $30 billion, he meets the Saudi Sheikh. So he comes to him in England, and he has a big mansion over there, $400 million the price. Very expensive, 400 coins of gold. Think even today it's expensive. A coin of gold is more than 1 ounce coin, matbea zav. 1 ounce is almost $2,000. Multiplied by 400. Even in the old days, there was a huge amount of money. In the beginning, this Rasha said, take it for free. Well, we both billionaires. I have the whole land. Take it. Avraham said, no, I don't even want a shoelace. Then he ripped him on a price. He doubled the price on him. So it says like this. Because Avraham say, I don't want to take a shoelace and a string from you, his children receive two mitzvot with these words. What are they? The strings of the tefillin and the blue of the tzitzit. The tzitzit. Tefillin and the strings of the tzitzit. Two mitzvot because he says shoelace, so it's similar to shoelace. And the strings. Chut. Two mitzvot. Then the Gemara says like this, Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol ha-machnif le-rasha, sofo she-nofel be-yado. If a person is extra nice to a wicked person, extra nice, why? Why a observant Jew will be extra nice to a wicked atheist Jew? Why? Friendly with him. He serves him, he gives him the best place. You know, why? Why is he trying to be so nice with him? Why? Because either he respects his wealth or he needs something from him. Could be he's a politician, could be he's a decision maker. He needs connection with him. So the Gemara says, it's guarantee that when you bow down to a wicked person, and you run after him to give him respect, which is against God's wish, you will fall in his hand. He's the one who will punish you for your behaving. Him, not somebody else. The same one. You run after him, your disappointment will come from him. And if not, you'll fall in his son's hand. Not him, his son will do it. And if not his son, his grandson. For sure, from him, directly or indirectly, the destruction will come. Chas v'shalom. Amar Avir Mi Abar Abba, before we finish. Amar Avir Mi Abar Abba, four groups do not receive the holiness, the spirit of Hashem. When the spirit of Hashem come, like in Mount Sinai, and when Mashiach would come, those four groups of Jews will not be able to see and to participate in these great days. Who are these four? Let's see if we are in them or not. First group, clowns. All day joking. Joking, imitation, laughing at people. All day. Yes, Yarmulke. Comes to Shiurei Torah, even in a shiur he makes jokes. He wants to be a clown. Everyone laugh. You know, I don't know if you ever heard this in one of my old lectures. My father had a friend many years ago. He should be in his almost 80 years old now. And he had a son, which is more or less my age. When we were young, teenagers, that kid used to love to laugh at people. That's his fun, to laugh at people. Then we have another person, which married my aunt, also another clown. Do you know what happened when two clowns meet in a wedding and there's a bottle of whiskey on the table? I don't even have to tell you what happened over there. So they drink a little bit, and then they go hunting. They go hunting. What are they going to hunt? A funny face to laugh at. Something to entertain them. So they laugh, they find somebody funny, so they laugh and they drink. Now listen good what happened to them. So one time, the young guy went hunting by himself. And then he came to this guy, said, Danny! What, the young guy's name is Yair. The older one, his name is Danny. So Yair comes to Danny. Danny! You're not going to believe what a funny face I found. The funniest you ever saw. He described him up. So where? So they run. Where? He was here. Here! So he looks at him and says, you fool. Metumtav. Ze Abba sheli. It's my father. Now, why Hashem made it that from 600 people that were in that wedding, he found his father? Why? To wake them up. Enough laughing at people. You should feel how hurt it is when someone laughs at you. Do you think it helped? It didn't help for many years. But today none of them is laughing. None. One of them stays single already, you know, perhaps won't get married anymore. And the older one lost all his money, lost his happiness, he's very depressed, he can't even make a joke anymore. Hashem buried both of them. But the interesting thing is that my mother told the mother of this Yair, why don't your son is interested to become Baal Tshuva? Why are you not letting him? It was one point in his life that he started to wake up to do tshuva. But the mother did not agree. The parents did not agree. So she said to my mother, what? If he become religious, who's going to marry him? He won't get married. So when my mother told me that, I said, by her saying it, I promise you, that was 20 years ago, that he will never get married. And that's what happened. He's 40s now, and he's not married. And he had opportunities, it doesn't happen. Why? Because she said, if he become religious, he won't get married. Hashem said, oh yes, let him stay not religious, and we'll see if he's going to get married. One will have no doubt whatsoever in my mind that that's the reason, because he's a handsome guy, and he comes from a wealthy family. There's no reason. Healthy, everything's fine, not stupid. Everything, he had all the skills that a man should have to get married. And Hashem didn't want. Then the Gemara says, the second group, liars. We're not talking someone who lied to save his life. Or he lied because he doesn't want to instigate between a husband and wife. Or he doesn't want his children to hear. That's kosher lies. The Torah sometimes says, it's lies, sheker l'shem shalom. If a war would start, what, you're going to say the truth? No. So he says a different story. If a woman came to cry to you about her husband, and then a minute later the husband said, I saw my wife asking you something. What did she say about me? What are you going to say? She say you're the stingiest husband in Brooklyn? You have to say, she say you're a great guy. She spoke about something else. You're not going to tell her, yeah, she's complaining about you. He's going to go home and destroy her. So the Torah say, change, make peace. We're not talking this kind of lies. You know what kind of lies I talk about. In a business, with the customers, everywhere, all the time. Lies and lies and lies. The third group, kat chanfanim. How do you say chanfan in English? It's a hard word. Someone who always come and speaks smooth to people and fool them, you know. Flattering, but flattering, it sounds positive. I'm saying flattering in a negative way. There's a word for it or no?
Conniving,
kisser, ulai. Okay, no. All right. Now, you see, it is hard to find sometimes the right words. But you got the point, no? Okay. And the fourth group, people who speak Lashon Hara and gossip. Lashon Hara. What's Lashon Hara? Who knows what's Lashon Hara? People think they know what Lashon Hara, but they don't know. According to the Torah, who can define to me what Lashon Hara means? No? You know or no? Very good. The truth. Person doesn't take a shower all week. He walks into the room, everyone faint. So someone comes and says, how is this guy? Oof, he's horrible. It smells very bad. It's the truth. No, I didn't lie. It's Lashon Hara. If it's not the truth, it's a different scene. It's called Motzi Shem Ra. In Israel, the law is communist. Communist, Zionist, Turkish, British, nothing Torah. That's the truth. All the laws from the Ottomanim, the Turkim, Turkish, from 200 years ago, from the British who came later, so they took some of their laws, and they copy from other nations. God forbid, they'll take from the Torah, wow. They suspect we may be religious. So they have a law of Lashon Hara in the Israeli constitution. The law of Lashon Hara. So if Reuven wants to sue Shimon in a court of Tel Aviv, so he comes to the court and the judge asks him what's the lawsuit is about. He said, he published against me in a newspaper that I'm this, that I'm a robber, I robbed, I steal, I cheat, I fake. He wrote all these things in a newspaper report and he hurt my business. Business went down 50% in the last 2 months. So I'm suing him. So now how the judge would know if to punish the speaker or not? He writes all the list of the accusation and he checks if it's true or not. If it's true, he let the criminal go free. And he make the person that his business got destroyed pay $2,000 for the court expenses. Just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Someone destroyed your reputation and you have to pay for the court. Why? Because it was the truth. Because he said things about you in the public that was the truth. If the judge find that he lied, that's a violation of the rule. But if he said to the public the truth that nobody knew, I didn't give a good example here, because if a person is a thief, even religious people are allowed to tell about him that he's a thief. Don't buy in this store, he's a thief. Don't buy in this store, he's selling fake product. Don't buy in this store, he always sells something for 3 months ago. It's expired, it's stale. That's a warning. You have to warn your brothers not to fall. But you know what I mean. You know, there's something that is not so relevant, and he's talking, you know what? He hits his wife. What does it have to do now with the business now? Why people have to know it? What is his customer business? He doesn't want them to go in his store, so he tells him story about what happened in his competition's house. But it's nothing to do with the business. If the business has a problem deceiving the customers, it's a different story. It's something personal. So now in Israel, if he really hits his wife, he goes, not guilty. Even though his life destroyed, nobody wants to be his friend anymore. Maybe he made tshuva already. Maybe he apologized to her. Maybe she forgave him. Maybe they live in harmony since it was 7 years ago. And they worked on themselves. And they're now a wonderful couple. Nah. What the judge can think? Sits over there with his mustache. Over there. And that's it. He knows Torah over there. He doesn't care about Torah. So that's called Kat Mesapre Lashon Hara. Kol haosek b'Torah mitoch dachak, someone who learned Torah in poverty, problems in between hours, working, is trying every minute to learn in a subway, this, in a bus, or standing in a bus, waiting, all the time, showing Hashem, I'm dying to learn. Help me, help me. Send me parnasah, I can sit and learn, for real. Somebody like this, his prayer is extremely good, which means Hashem accepted, express, more than ordinary other people. Why? Because he's sacrificing a lot for the Torah. When he's speaking and asking from Hashem, Hashem say, you sacrifice for my Torah, I sacrifice for you. And we'll finish with this. Tanu Rabbanan, Hane'elavim ve'enam olvim. Make sure, if you have two groups of people in front of you, group of people that are arrogant and insulting others, because they're rich and famous and smart and control, whatever the case may be. And a group of the miserable people that they're insulting them and step on their heads. Which group you want to be? In a group that is stuck up and they're insulting and they're arrogant? Or the group that is getting depressed and they attacking them and insulting them? And which group? Every person you ask today says, I want to be in a winner group. I don't want to be in an abuse group. What does the Torah say? Be in a group that get insulted. It's very good. It cleans all your sins. Express dry clean. All the stains are gone. Why? He's cleaning you. He's taking all the stains from you to him. Shomim cherpatam ve'enam meshivim. He hears they cursing him, speaking against him, insulting him. He has what to answer to block his mouth for the next 50 years. He's going to run out of town from the embarrassment. He has what to say. And he doesn't answer. This is a very high level of faith. And he has what to answer. And this person will feel so stupid. But he doesn't make a beep. Let him say. But there's a higher level than this. Osim me'ahava, everything they do with love, usmechim ba'isurim. They're happy that they get all this suffering. Sometimes, Moshe, why you don't answer him? Let him say whatever he wants. Hashem sees everything. I don't answer. I have what to say, I'm not going to answer. So why are you so depressed? That means he get to him. He's breaking his heart, what he says. It's very nice of him that he's not retaliating. But why are you upset? Now there's a higher level. He smiles. Sit, smoke his cigar. Why are you so happy, Moshe? This guy is destroying my reputation. So why, instead of going and kill him, he's smoking and you're smiling? Did you take a Prozac or something? What's happening with you? So he says, Smechim ba'isurim, aleihem ha-katuv omer, ve'ohavav ketzet ha-shemesh be'gvurato. It's like rising sun. Hashem loves these people. It's very hard, you know, it's very hard. Believe me, that's why the reward is so huge. Because it says in another place in the Gemara, people who are in the middle of a fight block their mouth and don't make it worse. They block their mouth. They have what to answer. Tole eretz al blima. Hashem gives them reward that earth was supposed to fall and smashed. And they held it on their shoulders. Tole eretz. Tole blima means bolemet piv bishat meriva, chazal zeh. And he has what to answer and his mouth is mute. He doesn't answer. That's a very high. If a person gets to this level, then you know, Baruch Hashem, you're very close to Hashem. You achieve something. The Rambam went on a boat with Arabs. And one of them came and made his bathroom in the Rambam's face while he was sleeping. And he got up. Now what would you do if you're on a boat, Jews, non-Jews, they're all in the boat. 1 month in the middle of the ocean, from one country to another, no airplanes 900 years ago. And one filthy, filthy murderer come indeed in the most important chacham and that generation in the whole world. What would happen? He did not answer nothing. He went, he washed his face, he said, Baruch Hashem, Shtabach Shemo, that he gave me this test. You understand what it is? That's a high level. Then when you know, when the Torah make you disciplined, and you can control your anger, your jealousy, your generosity is greater. You know, everything about you, you're never jealous. You always wish well for people. When someone make money, you're happy for him. When you see things happen, when someone's kid going off the way, you don't say, ah, Baruch Hashem, my kids are good. You feel like your son is off the way. Not your son, it's the neighbor's son. Baruch Hashem, it's not mine, I'm good. No, no, no. His son is your son, and it's Hashem's son. It's all Hashem's sons. What's your son, his son? That's a high level. The Gemara gave us the signs, what's going to happen before Mashiach come. This was written 2,000 years ago. When it was written, it was such an illusion, such a dream, that there was no even theoretical chance that one of these things would ever happen. If you went 2,000 years in time, the way people were, modest, integrity, modesty, etc., the way people were 2,000 years ago in the time of the Talmud, to write such a thing 2,000 years ago, you're risking your reputation. Maybe they think you got crazy. Look what the prophecy. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, one of the greatest rabbis ever lived. This is 2,000 years ago. This is what he says. It says like this. In the days of Mashiach, there will be signs in the world that will tell us that he's coming. That doesn't exist now. When is it now? 2,000 years ago. None of it existed. Basically, none of that existed 100 years ago. If you go to the year 1900, according to the Christian counting, 100 years ago, none of this condition existed in the world. Now, all of them. Which means we're very close to Mashiach. What are they? Achutzpah tisgeh. Everyone will be rude. Arrogance, chutzpah, disrespect, no tolerance, nothing. No gratefulness, no manners. Chutzpah, chutzpah, everybody knows chutzpah, what it means. Hayoker ya'amir, prices go up like crazy, non-stop. Prices higher and higher and higher. It's amazing what's happening here. Every year the taxes go 12% higher on houses here. We're going to days that if you live in Rockland County, a person would pay more tax in a year than the entire house worth. We are getting to these days. In another 20, 30 years, that's what's going to happen. The way it can continue to rise. In 10 years, a house that the tax was 15,000 went to 24,000 in 10 years. That means every year it increased 10 to 12%. So next year, the 24,000 will be 27,000. And the next year, 30. And the next year, 34. And the next year, 38. And the next year, 44, 43. And the next year, 49. Soon, eventually, like I say, in 20, 30 years, you come to buy a house, it will be 100,000 because nobody wants to buy it because the taxes on the house is more than 100,000. So people would buy the house, live there 1 year, and buy a new house. Before the tax, it doesn't pay. What's going to be here? It's crazy. Everything is getting more and more expensive. Food three times more. Health insurance every 2 months, another $100 a month. Another 100. Another 100. What's going to be? Unbelievable. Tolls. Do you see what's happening here? Every 2-3 months, a person wants to come from one city to Queens. It has to pay $55 to $60 just to get there with his car. And he makes, if he works in Queens, they pay him $100. From that they take taxes. So it leaves him with 70, and it cost him 60 to get to work. And so after he bought his lunch, he went to work for free all his life. So how is he going to make a living? Food stamps. That's what's happening. The government print money. It's crazy. This is a prophecy in the Gemara. It's in Israel like this. In Europe it's like this. Everywhere. So, Hayoker ya'amir means inflation. Prices constantly go higher and higher. Hagefen titen piria v'ayin beyoker. Plenty of grape trees and the prices of wine continue to rise. Why? They throw hundreds of tons of grapes to the water every day. Why not to put it in the market and lower instead of $3-4 a pound? It would cost $1 a pound, and a bottle of wine would be $3-4. There's plenty of grapes they throw to the garbage. They don't want to work. It's too much carrying, bringing. Better throw it to the ocean. That's what's happening here. Amalchut yem leminut. The kingdom of Israel will be all wicked people, anti-God. Now, it's officially like this. There's not one righteous person in Israeli government now. Now, for the last 30 years, there were a few Shomre Mitzvot. Now, there's not one kosher Shomer Mitzvot. There's not one in the government. Just like now. Why? Mashiach is on the way. Don't feel bad. It's a part of the conditions. And the next one, En Tochacha. If a speaker come and say to the people, Mechal El Shabbos Mot Yumat, come all the other rabbis. You fanatic, you streak, calm down. People get upset. Why? Cannot say the truth of the Torah. Oh, it's too strict. No, it's not our shita. It's not our style. Only one place in 18 years that I spoke in maybe 5,000 places until now. Only one place. One place only from 5,000 synagogues, homes, organizations, all over the world. Only one place told me, if you want to come here, you have to be extra strict. Give us the truth in our face, the hardest way possible. Where? The Georgian community in Belgium, in Antwerp. The people who sponsored the event, they told the guy who organized it, what kind of rabbi are you bringing? Is it soft? We're not interested in these soft ones who tell jokes. We want somebody to punch us in the face and wake us to do tshuva. He said, no, it's very strict. I said, because if not, we're not going to give you money. Did you ever see such thing? I say to myself, just for that was worth it for me to live. To see this moment one time. One time. Only one place. From 5,000 places. Why? Everywhere else. Please, you know, you sometimes say this, you sometimes say that. Nah, it's too much. I know, you're right. Well, we're right. It's in the Torah. But don't say it. You know, people get upset. What do they really mean? They won't donate. They already look at the final step. Donations don't come to this place. Why? Why? En tochacha. You cannot tell anyone. Today, if you want to tell a person, fix your tefillin. Tefillin is a little bit to the side. It looks at you like you want to kill you. If you're young, b'chlal. If you're old, you say, okay, no, it's an old man, no. I mean, if it's an 18-year-old kid, and you see a 50-year-old guy, and you say to him, you know, your tefillin is not where it should be. Okay, don't teach me how to put tefillin, okay? Why? Cannot hear. So it says like this. En tochachat. Bet vad yafech leznut. The Israeli Knesset will be a prostitution house. That's what it means. And it happened. Spill water in each other's face, throwing things, cursing. Ooh. Well, I have no idea what's happening there. Agalil yacharev. The Galilee will be attacked. Houses will be destroyed there. Agavlan nishon. Gavlan means the people who are in the borders. They will be helpless. There's nothing they can do. Anshe Agvul yesovevu mi'ir le'ir ve'lo yechonenu. The people who protect the borders of Israel will not have one second of rest. They run from one place to the fence here, attack over here. Now they're attacking now in Syria, this, there, all over. From here, coming from Jordan, coming from Gaza, tunnels under Israel. Okay. Chochmat sofrim tisrach. Rabbis are mukze. What's this book? Rabbi? No. Don't bring this over here. Lecture? Shh. No. Not for us. Make fun. They make in Israel a puppet show. Did you see? Take a puppet of Rav Ovadia, a puppet of another rabbi, and everybody sits and laughs on the two most important people in the world. That's exactly what it means. Who would dare to do it 50 years ago? The biggest communist would respect the rabbi. They don't want to be religious, fine. They respect. Today, forget about it. Yirechet imasu. People who are afraid to make scenes, nobody can stand them. Oof, this fanatic guy again. Why is he checking the letters? Maybe this is worms. What is so fanatic? Don't have to be so religious. Not only that, they call the rabbi. I get phone call. Rabbi, tell my son not to be too religious. Unbelievable. Why? They can't stand someone who is strict, according to the Torah. Be like us, chafif, half enough. Half enough. Come on, we cannot stand this guy anymore. Don't invite him for Pesach. He check, he put the letters on a scale. It's crazy, this guy. Haemet tiyeh ne'ederet. Nobody knows the truth. Even in Judaism, another group, every group, ne'ederet comes, adarim, groups. He thinks he has the truth. He thinks this, Hasidim, that. So many groups. Ay, ne'arim yalbinu pnei zkenim. Children would disrespect the older people. Hey, old man, where is the car key? People in Israel call their parents in their name. Eli, you're using the car today? I saw a guy, he comes to his father, Shlomo, where's the car key? So I'm standing over there. He said, over there. So when he left the room, I said to him, you allow him to call you like this, Shlomo? He looks at me and says, do I have a choice? Maybe you put some sense into him. I went out after the guy, told him, shame on you. The father is your friend. I gave him such a talk, he didn't know where to hide. Why? Nobody ever dared to talk to him. Good thing he didn't punch me in the face. Baruch Hashem, I got away with that. Na'arim yalbinu pnei zkenim. When I was a kid in Israel, everybody knew from elementary school, secular school, that when an old man or woman gets on a bus, everybody rise and give them the place. Please, ma'am, please, sir, come sit. So, you know, if a man, old man, comes, has 6, 7 kids getting up, sit here, grandpa, sit here. Today, the other way around. An old man sit in a bus, a group of guys get up, hey, grandpa, get up. Get up, get up, we want to sit. Just like that. They're getting him up. G'dolim ya'amdu bifnei ktanim. The kids would run the homes. Their parents, when their son comes in, his father stand up from fear. Maybe he's going to give me another punch today. You know? Ben menabel av. Sons cursing their fathers. Disrespecting them. Bat kama be'ima. Daughters cursing the mothers. Kala b'chamota. Daughter-in-law cannot stand their mother-in-law. If your mother comes for Pesach, I won't be here for Pesach. Know how many times I heard this sentence? If your parents coming, you can forget about this. I won't get tomorrow. Go to your parents, leave me alone. Why? That's what's happening. Oive ish anshe beto. The enemies of a person, his own family. Can't trust his own kids. Cannot. His kids steal from their parents' account. Steal credit cards. Steal the car. Little kids, 14, 15, drive, make accidents. Drugs. Who knows what happened? His own family is destroying him. Pnei ador ke pnei hakelev. People faces and haircuts like dogs. They look more like dogs than people. Look what's happening today. Purple beard, earring over here, hair like this, like a bush. No, a little bit here, nothing over here, all kinds of things like this. No embarrassment. Ben lo mitbayesh me'aviv. A son is not embarrassed from his father. He has a girlfriend, he brings her to the house, his father's sitting over here, there's a wall, and he brings his girlfriend to the room. She lives in the house with him. Comes in and out like it's a hotel. 50 years ago, anyone would bring his girlfriend to the house? He would hide in an orchard to make scenes. And after that, will take 15 showers that his father, by mistake, won't smell something. Now, hey, hi, how you doing? It's unbelievable what's going on. Ben lo itbayesh me'aviv. No embarrassment. One father was bragging that he took his son for his... He finished the army, 21 years old. So he gave him a trip. To where? To Amsterdam, where all the prostitutes. So the father and the son goes together to visit in Holland, in Amsterdam, the prostitute over there. He offers him drugs. They sit together and smoke drugs, fathers and sons, in Israel. In Israel, in Tel Aviv, father is a lawyer. He comes, they smoke together drugs in house. It's not stories. It's happening. Okay, since we are basically spiritually destroyed, what's the last sentence of this prophecy? Ve'al mi yesh lanu lishayen, and who we have left to lean on, to support us. Al avinu shebashamayim. That's nothing left. No ethic, no manners, no gratefulness, no justice, no respect, no modesty, no nothing, no nothing. So what's left? Help us, we destroyed. Help, like in Egypt. 49 gates of impurity. There's one more gate to enter, the 58th, and we'll never come out of Egypt, Chazal say. We are now in a 49th gate. Soon, it's going to be the 58th. If Mashiach doesn't come, it's all over. Who are you going to talk to? One time I went to Staten Island to give a lecture. That was 15 years ago. Today it's a lot worse. 15 years ago is not as bad as today. And what happened? I spoke to my 30 or 40 guys and girls, young ones, all Jews. 2 hours I speak. I say to myself, wow, how everyone listening. Never saw a young crowd like this, so into it. Then one of them got up like this. Achi! Achi means brother. He went like this. I never knew what's going on. You know, I'm ignorant. Achi! I'm a superman. And then everybody got up and everyone went, ha, ha, ha. Like you're in a football field or something. So I look at the guy who took me there. He's already in yeshiva. It was his idea to organize the shul. I said, what's going on here? He said, they're all on heavy drugs. So, and I was thinking they're into the shiur. Why you told me I'm speaking to the wall for 2 hours? You understand? Soon it's going to be all the teenagers like this. It's almost everyone like this. Almost everyone like this. Almost every teenager is on drugs. It's not a joke. Almost every person. With yarmulkes. In yeshivot. On drugs, taking pills, taking all kinds of things. Hashem Yerachem. And you know what happens when you don't have money for drugs? You begin to steal. One thing leads to another, and there's addiction. I know one woman in LA, she walked into an apartment of someone that she knew, and there was a kid there, 16 years old, from yeshiva, injecting heroin to his vein in front of her eyes. She almost fainted. 16 years old, kids that goes to yeshiva on heroin. How he got to heroin from learning Gemara and being supposed to be holy, how he ended up there. So what do we know? Only we have to scream to Hashem, "El lanu al mi lishayen, el al avinu shebashamayim." That's it. Bezrat Hashem, that's the sad news, that we got to this situation. And you see, the Gemara predicted everything 2,000 years ago. Who didn't respect his son? 50 years ago, when Tony walked into the house, his son Vinny got up like a soldier. Vinny and Tony, now forget about the yeshivot. Today, no respect to anyone. So obviously, the Gemara already saw things that nobody could imagine 2,000 years ago. So what's the good news? That's the final signs before Mashiach would come. That's the good news. It's horrible that it has to be this way. But at least the good news is, it's like a woman that's about to give birth. 9 months, it gets worse by the minute. Worse, worse, worse. The last 20 minutes are the hardest one. Screaming, contraction, that. But then the baby comes. And nobody remembers the suffering. After the baby comes, that's it. So that's it. Chevle Mashiach. That's Chevle Mashiach. Bezrat Hashem. We'll see you next Sunday. I'll be here. Bezrat Hashem. Baruch Adonai L'olam. Amen v'amen. Amen.